Today we're reading from Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.
How about we pray before we look at this passage together? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we pray as we look at it, we pray that your spirit would give us understanding, give us insight, and help us to take in your words. And we pray, Father, that we would be transformed by your spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would write your words on our hearts, and by your spirit help us to walk according to your truth. Father, we pray that we would see your words as something that we can delight in, something that we can treasure, and something good for us. So we pray and we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We've been going through the book of Galatians for the last few months, and now we've come to the last passage in Galatians. So to start us off, I think it's good to kind of recap. So why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, if you summarize the book of Galatians in one sentence, what is the message of the book of Galatians? Let me think about it first. What is the message of the book of Galatians? And then talk to the person next to you. If you haven't been coming, you don't have to say anything. It's okay. Good summary. And you can look at the book if you like. Yeah, turn a few pages. Okay, anyone has a one sentence summary for us? Wendy's got a good one. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Wendy, what can I say? You've been coming to church. You've heard the message. Okay. So today, as we come to the close of the book, I think this part of the book reminds us what is important and what is not so important. Sometimes we can get caught up with what is less important and forget what's really important. And I think the book of Galatians reminds us what is really important. So to keep those things in perspective, what's really important? Does this work? Okay. So as we come to church every Sunday, I think we need, as we are growing in as a Christian, the important thing is to know what's important and what's less important, so that when we make decisions, we can know what's a high priority and what's a low priority. And I think this word, this passage helps us do that. What's really important? In this last section, Paul tells us what's important is not really external ceremonies, but what counts is a new creation. So in verse 15, he says this, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. So what's really important, it's not an external ceremony, like whether you get circumcised or you're not circumcised. Paul says that's really insignificant. What is really important is a new creation. That's what's important. But as we read this, we shouldn't take that lightly, because as we've read through the book of Galatians, we realize that it's been an intense letter. Paul writes, he disposes with his usual greeting. He doesn't start with the normal greeting, small talk. He gets straight into it, and he's very intense. He says, in different parts, he says that, I wish that those people who are causing you to move away from Jesus, I wish that they would castrate themselves. But he's very intense in the things that he talks about. There are three. He's writing to the Galatian Christians. The issue of circumcision is really at the heart of this letter. And as he's writing to the Galatian Christians, he's also opposing this false teaching, this Jewish missionary. So there are three parties in view throughout this letter. Sometimes he opposes the Jewish missionaries directly, sometimes by the things that he says. He is very personal, very pastoral, he cares, he says he's like a mother wanting to give birth to the Galatian believers all over again. He can't understand. He's astonished that they are leaving their faith. So he's very personal in some places. He's very intense in his opposition in other places. Why? Because the issue of circumcision was adding to Jesus. They were saying, Jesus plus you need to get circumcised for you to be right with God. So Paul sees that for them, the issue of circumcision meant that they were adding to the gospel. They were not trusting in Christ alone. So he's very intense in his opposition to them. So you think that when you come to the last thing, he'll say that, no, don't get circumcised. But he doesn't say that. He says that whether you get circumcised or you're uncircumcised, actually it's not important. What is really important is a new creation. That's what's important. What really matters is not a human ceremony, but a real change. Is the person a new creation? Has God, by the Holy Spirit, caused a person to become new? That's what's important. And for the Jews, this was huge, because in the Old Testament, God had commanded Abraham and all his descendants, if you want to be part of God's people, you have to be circumcised. All males had to be circumcised. That was the sign, the identity marker, that they were part of God's people. But now Paul is saying in the New Testament, that's no longer the sign. He was saying that circumcised, uncircumcised, doesn't matter. So with that in mind, sometimes, so that the gospel can have a viewing amongst Jewish people, Paul actually goes and he gets, I think it was Timothy, he gets him circumcised. But at other times, like in this letter, he says, don't get circumcised. Because the issue, what was at stake, was adding to Jesus' sufficiency. So I guess what we can learn from this is, it's not about external ceremonies, it's about real change. We don't have circumcision today, that's not an issue with it. But one ceremony that is close to that is the ceremony of baptism. Christians have fought hard and had a lot of disputes about baptism. We have different denominations who place varying emphasis on baptism. What baptism symbolizes? Is it necessary for salvation? How important is baptism? So if we're saying that in terms of relative importance, I know in our church baptism is really important, but I think biblically it is faith in Christ that is really, really, really important. It is whether you are a new creation is really, really important. Baptism is not that important. But don't hear me saying, don't get baptized. Later, someone will come and tell me some things after the service, I'm sure. But in terms of importance, baptism is just an external ceremony. What is really important is, are you a new creation? Has God made Jesus known to you? Have you heard the gospel and you believe that Jesus, He is God's Messiah, and I want to follow Him, I want to live for Him? That's what is important. And if that has happened to you, then you should get baptized. Okay. So what's more important is actually living the new life that baptism symbolizes. See, baptism symbolizes that we have died to sin and we are now raised to new life with Jesus. So the more important thing is living what baptism symbolizes. Not whether you get baptized, it's whether you are living a new life. That's what is important. I met a person some time ago, and he got baptized when he was in his teens, and he doesn't come to church anymore. So it's not about baptism, it's about living a new life. That's what is important. Okay, what's important? What's important is the new creation. So if it's new creation that is important, that means you have new values, you have a new outlook, the way that you look at the world, look at yourself, look at life. You have a new allegiance. You identify with Jesus. He's the one that you love and you live for. In Galatians, Paul is writing to the Galatian believers, and they are in danger of leaving Jesus, deserting Jesus. Why? Because some Jewish missionaries had said, "You are Gentiles, we are Jews, we are God's people. You want to become God's people? You have to become like us." Meaning, you have to take on our Jewish laws, you have to get circumcised, you have to eat certain food, these are clean foods, these are unclean foods. They were adding to the sufficiency of Jesus. And Paul says that to add anything to Jesus' death on the cross is to fall from grace. It is to go back into slavery of works of the law. So we see this three-sided argument going on in the book of Galatians. And in this section, we get to know the motives of this Jewish missionary. So we get an insight into why did they say what they said. And so if you look at verses 12, it says this: "Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ." So why were they telling these Galatian believers, you have to get circumcised, you must get circumcised? They're forcing them to get circumcised. Why? Because they wanted to impress people, they wanted to look good among the Jews, and they didn't want to be persecuted. To understand that, we need to know what is going on at that time. See, at that time, all God's people were of Jewish ethnicity. Gentiles are not God's people. The 12 disciples, Jesus was a Jew. The 12 disciples were Jews. So Christianity, when it's started to emerge was initially even seen as a sect within Judaism. So there was a strong element that wanted to retain this Jewish heritage, part of which was their Jewish identity, the food laws, the Jewish festivals, circumcision. Circumcision was the thing that really looked and meant all these things. So circumcision was a big thing. So by them saying that you've got to do all these things meant that they conformed. They were part of Judaism. They were not standing out. They were not different. So they didn't, by them doing that, by conforming, they avoided persecution. But Paul says that the message of the cross actually causes offense. It is, people are not happy with it. In Galatians 5, verse 11, he says this, "If I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted?" So in that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. So people are happy as long as you conform and you do what has always been done. But when Paul was preaching and saying that, no, the message is about a crucified Messiah, then they were not happy. So what made them persecute Christians? What was it that caused offense? Why is the message about Jesus so offensive? So these are some of the reasons I came up with. For one, the Jews are monotheistic. There's only one God. So for Jesus to come and say that he is God the Son, for them it was blasphemy. How can you say that? You're just a man and you're saying that you're God the Son? So that's why they were opposed to that message. Jesus calling himself God the Son. It was blasphemy to a Jew. Secondly, for them to say the message of the cross that Jesus was the Messiah was to actually say that they got it wrong, because they are saying that we the Jews, we God's people, actually killed our Messiah. We rejected and crucified our Messiah. So they didn't want to say that. They didn't want to admit that they were wrong. Thirdly, if by being right with God is only by trusting in Jesus, that means the Jews had to admit that they were sinners like the Gentiles. So Jews thought that they were the holy ones, they were God's holy people, separate from the rest of the world. Those Gentiles, they are sinners. But for them to say that Jesus had to die on the cross, that Jesus had to become a curse, to take on their curse, that means they are saying that, you mean we are sinners as much as the Gentiles are sinners? So that was an offensive message, because they had to admit that even though they have the law, they can't keep it completely. And so we are equally wrong in God's eyes. We are equally lost as those Gentile sinners as well. So that was hard for them to admit. And even today it's like that, isn't it? If you tell another person that they're a sinner, they say, no, I'm pretty good, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm a decent human being. The message of the cross says that we are so bad, so sinful, that it took the death of God's Son to wash and cleanse us and to make us right from God. So it is an offensive message for those who think they are decent human beings. And finally, fourthly, the message of the cross also meant that God's chosen people were no longer limited to Jews. And that was hard for a Jew. The Jews were God's chosen people for so many, many years. And then for them to change, for them to include Gentiles as part of God's people, that transition was very difficult for them. They found it difficult. So for all these reasons, the message of the cross was offensive. So rather than face the persecution from Jews, these Jewish missionaries changed the message. They say, let's not try to be too different. Yes, believe in Jesus, plus become a Jew. Circumcised, food laws, Jewish calendar. Let's not be different. Let's just blend in, fit in. And so that's their motive. Their motive was to say that we are one of the Jews, we are not trying to be different, and they did that to avoid persecution. That's their motive. Okay, let's move on to what's really important. What's really important? So Paul says, what's really important is the message of the cross. It's about Jesus crucified. That's what's really important. The word boast, in Greek, the word means kauchaomai. Sounds like a Chinese word, actually. Maybe it's my pronunciation. Okay, anyway. What does it mean is, it means to... I think it's my pronunciation. Sorry, I don't know Greek that well. Okay, it means to glory in, it means to trust in, it means to rejoice in, to revel in, to cherish, to live for. When he says, may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying that may I cherish, may I make much of, may I trust in, may I revel in. That's what the word is trying to capture. It means that the cross is what fills my outlook of life. It captures my attention. It absorbs my time and energy. Our glory is what we are obsessed about. What obsesses Paul? That's his glory. He says it's the cross of Jesus Christ. That's my obsession. Some people get fired up about politics, or they're a really quiet person. And then if you touch that topic that they love to talk about, they come alive and they chat about food, or they chat about new fashion, or anime, or I don't know what your thing is. Like when you hit that spot, they get all excited and fired up, and that's their obsession. Paul is saying that his obsession was the cross of Jesus Christ. He loves to talk about Jesus Christ's cross. That's what captured him. And for us, this is the important thing. This is the important thing. In verse 14, he says, by the cross, the world has been crucified to him, and he to the world. I think what he's saying is that when he came to know Jesus, the world is dead to him. The world lost its appeal. It's no longer attractive. You know, the thing that captures us is what we talk a lot about. And sometimes I talk a lot about food. And I remember one time in my off day, when Jean and I took different days off, I used to drive my car to Macquarie Shopping Center and go and eat in Papa Ridge because I love my Malaysian food. You know, Paul is saying he loves the cross of Christ. The way that I talk about food is the way that he talks about Jesus. He revels, he delights, he savors. He savors it. Ooh, yum. So the world has lost its attraction. It's Jesus that he's boasting and glorying and reveling in, because that's what means the most to him. And it's not only that the world has died to him, he says that he has died to the world. He has been crucified to the world. So I think what he's saying is, when the world looks at him, they see nothing in him that's attractive. That means he's like a fool. The way that he lives, the way that he spends his time, his money, he is being beaten up, he's making tents and using his money for a crucified Messiah who's died on the cross like a shameful criminal. Like, man, this Paul, he's a loser. That's what the world thinks of Paul. He's dead to the world. He's not attractive to the world. So that's what has happened to him. A change. He is a new creation. In Philippians, Paul tells us about this a bit more. He says that all the things which he was proud of, he was so proud of his Jewish heritage. He was so proud of the law. He was so zealous for the law. He was persecuting the church. And then on the road to Damascus, Jesus met him. And then after that, he says, all these things that he was so proud of, he says, it's like rubbish. I consider these things as loss compared with the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus. He is a new creation. Everything else is rubbish. So Paul had become a new creation. Something happened. He was transformed. He was changed. He had new values, new priorities, a new way of looking at people, at what's important. A transformation had occurred. We met up with our neighbors a while ago, and they have an album, a photo album, and so they took out the photo album and they showed us their grandkids. Their grandparents, and all grandparents are so proud about their grandkids, isn't it? So they showed the grandkids a photo in this pose, this outfit, that outfit, and lots of pictures of grandkids. And Paul is like that. He loves talking about the cross. He's so proud of the cross. He boasts in the cross. That's what excites him. The cross changed his life. The cross changed his outlook of life. I mean, the cross changed him so much that in verse 17 he says this, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. See, Paul is saying that because of the cross, he got beaten, he got whipped, he got stoned, he got shipwrecked. He has gone through a lot of things, and on his body, this was not spiritual beating. He was physically beaten. He's got marks on his body to prove what he's gone through. He has suffered a lot of persecution. And so he's saying these marks are because he loves the cross. These marks are because he's so captured by these things that he's willing to undergo the hard stuff. These marks were like marks of ownership to say that he belongs to Jesus. Paul is a new creation. And he's willing to take whatever suffering and hardship that comes along as part of that package of identifying with Jesus. These other Jewish missionaries, they didn't want to be persecuted. So to avoid persecution, they changed the message. But Paul says he won't change the message because this is what he is so enamored by, the cross of Jesus Christ. So he's willing to suffer persecution by identifying with Jesus. John Stott gives four areas in which we can boast in the cross and make much about the cross. One, we are to look to the cross for our justification. It's only by the cross that we are right with God. So we look to the cross for justification and not be self-righteous. Two, we are to take up the cross and follow Jesus and not be self-indulgent. That's a bit hard, isn't it? That's the hard one. Yeah. Yes, but it's there too. Okay. Three, we are to proclaim Christ crucified and not self-advertisement. We are making much about Jesus and not about how good we are. We really don't have much to talk about ourselves because we are not good. But Jesus, we boast in Jesus. He is good. And four, we are to glory in the cross instead of self-glory. So how do we apply this part of the passage? I think we need to think about what is really important and what is not important. What's really important for you? Sometimes it might be what people think of us. What people think of us shapes how we live. For example, Jean was telling me about the Havaianas, this cool thong slippers that you buy. And she was saying that you can actually buy these Havaianas in, was it Aldi? But the Aldi design didn't look that as nice. But a lot of people went and bought these Havaianas. So then I was thinking, the design isn't nice. Oh, they bought it for the brand. So then, is it because that they want to look impressive rather than getting a good, nice-looking slipper? What is it that shapes how you make decisions and live? There's nothing wrong with Havaianas. Please go and buy them and enjoy them. But I'm saying, what controls you? Is it because you want to impress people that you buy certain clothes? Or, okay, guys, you've just done the HSC and you've got to decide what course to do. Do you do a course because you want people to think well of you? Or because you want a good salary or a good image? Okay, I want to be a doctor. Or I don't know what are the good courses that give you that kind of reputation. Ooh, bow down, fantastic. Do you choose that? Or do you do something that you feel that this is how I can serve God with my life and make much about Jesus? What is your motive for the choices that you make in life? Is it the cross? Or is it the glory and the ambition of this world and what people think? Or maybe what's closer to home is it what your parents, relatives are dictating? So you want to please your parents and you choose a course because their relatives are saying, oh, my son did this, that and the other. And so they are putting pressure on you to do something like that. What's really important? What's really important? And what's not important? It is the cross of Jesus Christ. So when you make a decision, don't make a decision because of you want to please your parents or because you want to fit in or belong or because you feel that would secure you for life. Man, that's sinking sand. Something could happen in an instant and all your security or even the job that you choose that you think is a good, secure job, 10 years from now, the economy changes, what is in demand changes, and the choice that you made because of other reasons was a dumb choice. Man, what a waste. You got to decide before God, this is how I want to live for God, the gifts that He has given me, and my personality. Am I a people person, or do I like to sit behind a desk? I don't really like people. And then you choose a job that you think it's got a good high-paying salary and it's got to do with a lot of people and you're not a people person. Man, that's going to be struggle, man. That's going to be stress going to work every day. Because that's not you. That's not how you have been wired. How do you make those decisions? What's really important? This passage is saying it is the cross that is to shape our decision-making. So don't try to make everyone else happy. Just make one person happy. Live for an audience of one. It's much less complicated. And it's not even living to make yourself happy, because sometimes we don't even know what makes ourselves happy. Live for Jesus and His cross. That's much more simpler. Okay, to end off, let's sing a song called When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Father, we come to you, Lord, thanking you for this gift of your Son. Thank you, Lord, that He humbled Himself, that He was born as a man, that He died on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that Yeah, because of Jesus, we are right with you. Thank you, Father, for the reminder from the book of Galatians that is in faith in Jesus alone that we are right with you. Father, we pray for your help. Lord, there are things that charm us in this life. There are vain things that we forget and we live for and get captivated and captured by. Father, we know that these things are all temporary and they are fool's gold and they glitter, but they don't satisfy in the long term, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would put in us, Lord, a love for the cross, that, Father, this is what we would boast in, cherish, and be delighted in, Lord. We ask for your Spirit to increase our experience of treasuring Jesus and the cross, that we would be captivated by the cross of Christ. So we pray this and ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.